All right, so they did it. They did it. Nancy Pelosi now has two impeachments, which is half of the impeachments that have ever happened in our country's history. She's done it in the last year, 245 years before that, leading up till now. There was two. There's been two in the last 12 months. The House voted to impeach President Trump on yet another thing where there was a transcript and video refuting what they're claiming. We'll get to that. About to discuss the media's guilt in all of this with my good buddy Eli Crane. Adel Nazarian will join to weigh in on the impeachment, where the GOP goes from here. Whole lot more. Real quick, though, guys, you got to head on over to mammothnation.com, America's Conservative Discount Club. They're great people. They're on a mission to keep this country on track. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't believe it. It's better than a donation to a candidate, to a PAC. $19 a year to join, then you get tons of discounts on amazing products. Internet, wireless, travel, insurance, other stuff. All stuff that you're already buying now and or will be buying. So go check them out. They believe in this country and put the proceeds towards great causes. So again, go do it. MammothNation.com. You'll be glad that you did. All right, join me now to walk through some of this. Former Navy SEAL, founder of Bottle Breacher, good friend of the show, Eli Crane. Eli, good to have you, man.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you. As we were talking before the show started, crazy, crazy times. And I feel like we keep doubling down and getting crazier, which is not good. It's not good at all. But all this stuff happened yesterday, right? And by the way, for the viewers out there commenting, Facebook and our streaming service had an issue. So some of the people that you normally go back and forth with on Facebook just are going to have to watch the show in the recorded form later. But I feel like we keep doubling down on this. They came out. President Trump issued this statement yesterday, if we can bring that up, which basically just said, hey, I'm against, in light of, I'll read it for you guys. In light of reports, more demonstrations, I urge that there must be no violence, no law breaking, no vandalism of any kind. That is not what I stand for. It's not what America stands for. I call on all Americans to help ease tensions and calm tempers. Thank you. So he said, and look, some people are saying he said it too late after the events the other day, and it took too long in the day on January 6th to issue statements, but he issued multiple that day. He issued this one yesterday. Then he also issued a video, which we'll get to in a second here, but do you feel like that's just being forgotten and not addressed, the fact that he said these things?
Well, I don't know that it's being forgotten. I think that there's an intentionality to deceive and mislead the American people. And I think it's been going on for years. We've been talking about it for a long time, Drew. I know you've been talking about it for a long time. Unfortunately, the media is not really media anymore. It's propaganda. And so it's kind of a zero-sum game for them. It's all about promoting the agenda. It's not about promoting truth or fact. And this is just one more iteration of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just play part of this clip. This is him last night talking and basically saying all the same things. It's a little bit longer. Again, we won't watch the whole thing. You guys can go find it online. Don't look on the mainstream media sites because you won't find it there. But play the clip. Roll one.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the troubling events of the past week. As I have said, the incursion of the U.S. Capitol struck at the very heart of our republic. It angered and appalled millions of Americans across the political spectrum. I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America Great Again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement. You are attacking it, and you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it. Tragically, over the course of the past year, made so difficult because of COVID-19.
So you kind of get the sense there. He goes on, says a lot of other great things. But you know, as Eli was just saying, who didn't really cover that, or at least not widely, was the mainstream media. Sure, there's maybe a clip or two that I missed, But you've got here the covers just on the websites today for CNN, MSNBC, all about how he's impeached, all about slamming him. New York Times, Washington Post, you know, all of these big ones. Who, again, maybe I missed a clip last night, but they have not celebrated. They have not, because you would think, right, if they're saying, hey, we need peace, we need unity, this guy's saying the opposite of what we need, and then he says it, they'd be like, see, he said it too. But they're not. They're not even bringing that up. And I just think it's so reckless. So reckless. What do you think, Eli?
You know, I agree with you. I think it's always reckless when truth isn't upheld and it's not something that we're all striving for. And that includes both people on the right and the left. We should always be wanting to hear both sides of every argument so that we can make the best decisions possible. And like I said, the media has been letting us down for a very long time on that. You know, and it's really unfortunate, but as everybody tries to dial down the rhetoric so that we don't end up, you know, in some just completely unfortunate and horrible situation where we see more violence spilling out into the street, the Capitol, et cetera. I've got to be honest with you. As we look at unity, I think many of us want unity, but I'm not sure how we get there, to be honest. I feel like there's two separate ideological trains, and they are pulling further and further apart every single day. I know people don't like to talk about these things, but with the way that I see things going and how far and far apart these two trains are getting, the only really three options that I see are, you know, and none of these are anything that I want to see happen. I would love to continue to see a conservation of the framework, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the things that have made this country great to begin with. But I only see, you know, three possible options, and that's a secession, you know, totalitarianism controlled by the left, you know, or a civil war, because they just continue to go further and further left, and you see it each and every day. And there's going to come a point, there is going to come a tipping point where Americans are going to have to say, those of us that love this country, love our Constitution, love the Bill of Rights, are going to have to say, we either fight for it or we give it up. And that's just a fact. It's just how it is. I know nobody likes to go there or talk about it, but at some point, you have to really look at, okay, how could this possibly end? Is there any way to really come to unity when the ideological trains are so far apart from each other?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that those options are probably where we're stuck. And the first two kind of play in, or the second one rather, plays in with the third one, with secession or the totalitarianism and it leading to war. It is. We're at this point now where everyone is, the trains are separating, using your analogy. And there's people who are saying they want unity, but then they won't listen to the other side. I want unity. What are you saying? No, I hate what you're saying. Get away. Like, and obviously that's not helpful. It's just disappointing to see how the mainstream media has not helped the cause, how big tech has not helped the cause, because no one can fix everything, but they could play a big role in doing this. And now things are, they're so hostile, so hostile. And we've got people like this. I want to show this clip too. It ties in and it doesn't tie in all at the same time, but I'm going to do it anyways. This was CNN's Jake Tapper yesterday. You maybe saw this. Brian Mast, who's a veteran, lost his legs in combat, been on the show before. This was Tapper talking about him and questioning his loyalty to this country or his commitment to this country, using his words, Rule 2.
The reams of evidence that we have. There's one other thing I want to share.
But just one other thing. That's relevant. What you're saying right now is relevant because Congressman Brian Mast, mm-hmm. a Republican from Florida, who lost his legs, by the way, fighting for democracy abroad, mm-hmm. although I don't know about his commitment to it here in the United States. He said, did anybody say that?
Yes.
Right, yeah, so, we heard him. Yeah.
The answer is
yes. He started off like he was going to say the right thing, but these people, it shows, again, one, use your platform for better. Don't question the dude's intentions because you don't know him. But two, it just shows how disconnected we are, that we can talk about people that way, how disconnected. I mean, it blows my mind the things that they said. There was a Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo exchange. When they do their handoff every night, it's just the worst. And it shows how far apart we are and shows how misguided and how they look at the world so differently than we do. But I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't help, right?
No, it definitely doesn't help. And like I said, it's just, I mean, to those of us that grew up, you know, I grew up in a generation of Hulk Hogan and monster trucks and, the United States going into Iraq, where, you know, patriotism seemed to abound and people still really fought for and loved the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And for those of us that grew up in a time like that, and even before then, it's kind of like we feel like we're living in La La Land as we watch the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and just individual freedoms and liberties being trampled on day after day, often in the name of our own safety, right? I think that, you know, there's so much going on, it's hard to keep up with it. But that's why I said what I said as far as, okay, this is what's going on. How, what avenues out of this? What avenues, are there any avenues towards unity? And what's the most likely, course of action for this thing to, come to an end?
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, because of that second option you listed, and because of how, you know, all evidence always points to the fact that the Democrats love power, they love control, they want it, they've got it now. How they're going to utilize it is anyone's guess, although I think we've got a pretty good idea. But because of that, it makes the first option you listed of secession or a divorce of some sort, splitting things up, really hard, because then they don't get to control that piece and they're going to want to keep that. And obviously, from a political and from a procedural standpoint, getting that done is difficult. And I don't know all the ins and outs of how it would work should it happen. And I also don't know all the hurdles that we have to get through to get there. But I know that there's been talk of it before. Obviously, we weren't as raw as we are now. But do you think that has a possibility? Like, I know that we want it. Honestly, as much as we all hate each other right now, I wish we could just say, hey, look, you guys take this, we'll take this. We're going to love God, guns over here. We're going to have borders. You guys do it. I really don't care what you want over there. And let's just make it clean and easy. But I don't know. Do you think that really could happen?
You know, I almost refuse to say, you know, I know anything could happen anymore with what's gone on in 2020 and how 2021 is kicking off. I want to make something real clear. Again, those aren't things that I want to see happen. I think it would be awful to see any of those things happen. I just don't see any way around it. And you're right, Drew. I don't think, because I believe that the Democratic Party, that's all they really want is power and control. And I think you see it each and every day by the way that they're willing to step on the Constitution, you know, step on the Bill of Rights, whether we're talking freedom of assembly, whether they're talking about disarming the populace, whether we're talking about free speech and tech censorship, you know, it all points in the same direction. It all points towards, you know, centralizing power, taking it away from the American people, our individual rights and freedoms. And so I think it is a possibility. I don't know how likely it is. And I think it would probably be pretty messy, like a lot of things. But out of those three options that I listed, and again, if somebody has, you know, if somebody can show me where, you know, where there's room to go another direction, hey, I'd love to see that. But secession, totalitarianism, and another civil war, I think out of all of those awful decisions or outcomes, secession would be the one that I would vote for, you know, first and most often, just because we could, you know, go our separate ways and people could live how they want to live. If you want to live under this progressive leftism, this totalitarianism, by all means, please go do that. And let me know how that works out for you. If you want to be part of the America, you know, that you and I love, that you and I have fought for, where we have freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, freedom of assembly, and where, you know, we're treated as free citizens that can make our own choices, who don't have to fall under some, you know, socialistic economy and government, where we can go out there and provide for our families. And we, you know, if we work extra hard, you know, we can do a better job providing and taking care of them. You know, then that's the place that I want to live. And I want other Americans to have that ability to live in a free, you know, capitalistic, God-fearing country. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, heck yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what we fought for. That's what the American people deserve. And again, it's all up to decisions. If you want to live that way, go do it. Go do it elsewhere. The big problem we have right now is everyone determining and dictating to others how they need to think, how they need to live. I want to keep you around for 1 second and talk about one of the other options and something else I talked about on the show yesterday. But real quick, guys, we got a lot of problems in the world. Eli and I are talking about them. They don't stop there. One that we most certainly control, though, is what's happening south of your border. UFM Underwear for Men has the solution, all because of their unique patented pouch system that eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions, moves with your body so you can go from one activity to the next. They've also got their unique drawstring support pouch that allows you to increase support to your preference. They're great for sports, work, everyday use, medical applications, all sorts of stuff. You got to go check them out. Great company, great people. UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. You'll be glad you did, man. Treat yourself right. Ladies, treat your men right. Head on over there, get your husband, sons, boyfriend, whoever. Anyone who needs underwear, get it for them. UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew and save. All right, so back to these options, though. It's a tough thing, right? It's a tough thing being in anyone's shoes, but in my shoes in media, yours with the role as an influencer and media and your company and all that you do out there, because you see these options coming. It's like, as you've said, I don't want any of these options. They're not good for the country. I don't want to be the one that pushes for it or says, hey, let's go do this. Let's go do that, because there's a lot of weight that comes with that. And there's probably a lot of bloodshed that comes with some of them too, unfortunately. But there's also a lot of people who are pissed off. I get that. I am too. I'm sure you are too. We're all frustrated with where we are. We kind of feel like we're in the beginnings of that totalitarian state that has been discussed, which is hilarious because the left would say that we've already been there, which there's just nothing to back up and show for. But with the discussion of these armed protests that are coming up, I've been telling people, and you might have a totally different take, and obviously I'm good with that, but I've been saying, look, guys, don't tip the scale that way unless you know what is on the other side. Don't go to these things, because you know that there was Antifa people at the Capitol Hill riots. You know that they're at all these different things instigating, and the odds of this going bad are pretty high. And we're not in an armed conflict. We are in an ideological war with the other side, but we are not in an armed conflict, at least not yet. And if we don't want that, then don't go to these things. But maybe, do you have a different take? I mean, am I wrong on that?
You know, it's a very, very crazy situation out there. And I think we need to be very, very careful with not only the power of our words, but what we show up to, what we don't, what our posture is, et cetera. And for those, I definitely will always support, you know, whether I agree with you or disagree with you, I will always support people's ability and their right to protest. But that being said, I want to caution those of you out there, you know, who just want to roll up to this thing willy-nilly, you know, armed or with any intention to, you know, for violence or, you know, to, you know, injure or harm anybody. Be very careful, because what you've seen is that there's a double standard. We have a set of rules that we have to play by. The left does not have to play by the same set of rules. You saw it all summer long. I know you guys have seen the montages of Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo and Maxine Waters, you know, out there basically, you know, not only calling for violence, saying it shouldn't end, but also saying things like, show me where protests are supposed to be peaceful. We don't get that luxury on the right side of things. So be very careful with your actions, your words, and, you know, like Drew was saying, none of us want to see this go there. And I'm not one of these guys that's going to say, hey, there's never a time for revolution, because we wouldn't be here as a people if our founders and, you know, early generations of Americans believed that. That's just, it's an unfortunate fact. That is just how life is. And that is how history is. And so I'm not going to be one of these guys out here virtue signaling and saying, hey, there's never a time for revolution. There's never a time to take a stand. There's never a time to take a, you know, stand up and fight, because there most certainly is. I don't think that we've gotten there yet. And I do believe that if it ever, God forbid, it ever comes to that, that we have it planned, we have principles set in place We can take the moral high ground, and we can resist this communism and this totalitarianism and this socialism and this destruction of this country that we all love and care about.
Yeah, totally. No, I couldn't agree more. That's so well said. And we'll just see. We'll see. But we're not there yet. As Eli just said, as I've been trying to say, might happen. All for revolutions. Not necessarily in this case, but as in general, and how we were created as a country. But yeah, we're not there, and I hope we don't get there. We a lot of us have kids, children. We got a bright future if we can figure this out. But we'll have to have you back on to talk about that before we go, though. And I really appreciate all your thoughts on that, because again, guys, this is a stud right here who's talking. You know who he is. He's been on the show before. He's a former SEAL. He's served this country. He's done amazing things for this country. He's done amazing things in the business community too. And I want to talk about that real quick. He's got Bottle Breacher, which if you watched Shark Tank years ago when it was starting, that's how Bottle Breacher got started. It's blown up and done awesome things ever since. What's going on with Bottle Breacher now, Eli?
You know, we're just doing the same thing that we've always done. We continue to make, badass gifts for people. We do a lot of personalization. A lot of our gifts are man gifts, and we got Valentine's Day coming up, so we're gearing up for that. And, more importantly, we're trying to be one of these businesses that, actually stands for something. Because I get so sick and tired of people that, won't stand for anything, won't put their money where their mouth is. And, that as long as I'm the CEO of this company, that'll never be who we are and what we're about. And, I am for free speech. I am for the Constitution, for the Bill of Rights. And I understand that, to be for free speech, and I'm talking to all you Americans out there, you have to be for free speech when you disagree with people, not when you agree with them. That doesn't even count. And so we're going to keep, supporting patriotism, this country, and keeping our manufacturing and our jobs here in this country.
I love it. I love it. Well, and they do, guys. They've got awesome products. They've stood up multiple times. You guys have been censored. You've had pages taken down because of your views as well, right?
Yeah. Twitter took us down earlier this year, and without an excuse, without a reason. And, it just is. It is what it is. And you have to know that if you get involved in this fight for freedom, if you get involved in this fight to preserve the country, you will get shot at, you will get hit. Yep. And even doing interviews like this, where the things that I'm saying aren't always popular, you have to be willing to step out if you really do love this country. And I say all the time that evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And that's what we've got. We've got a pandemic of men doing nothing, good men doing nothing, because they're scared. They're scared of cancel culture. Yeah. The left has been very effective in what they're doing. And so it's like that we got to be courageous, and we got to be bold, and we got to be bold now.
I love it. I love it. Well, 2021 shows already that it's a year that you're going to need beer. You're going to need a drink. We've got the Freedom Frag here, one of their products to pop that top off. They've got tons of other stuff there. So head on over to bottlebreacher.com. Like Eli said, Valentine's Day is coming up. You got a wedding, a celebration coming up. They do custom stuff. It's amazing stuff. So go check it out. Eli, thanks so much for your service. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you too, buddy. Have a good day. All right, folks. On the other side, Adel Nazarian going to join us. We'll talk GOP. We'll talk the impeachment yesterday. Kind of where the party goes from here. And I don't know that any of us have the perfect answer, but we'll talk about it. Also, podcast listeners, make sure you check us out on all the different platforms. If you're listening now, obviously you've got one, but we're on all of them. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it, all of them there. Also, please subscribe to the channels, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, when it comes back, assuming it does come back, all of those down here. YouTube in the bottom corner, you can subscribe, click notify for notifications afterwards. Please click all. Again, we won't spam you. Don't do too many. And then go to Rumble, rumble.com or the Rumble app. Find This Is My Show with Drew Berquist. Subscribe there. You guys are doing great on moving the audience over there. We got some more work to do, though. So please head on over there. Do that. Share away. And then finally, head over to drewberquist.com. You can get all your news commentary there. Watch the show, listen to the show. Tons of stuff. News coming on the newsletter on the site here in the coming days. So stand by for that. All right, stick around. We'll get to the GOP on the other side. Life in America isn't what it used to be. What the liberal Democrats have planned for this country and your family would be devastating. At Mammoth Nation, we're committed to supporting conservative candidates. We also stand behind our police, military and veterans, the Second Amendment, and much more. In return for your patriotism, you get great discounts on things like hotels, shopping, wireless, and much more. Discover your Mammoth buying power today. Go to mammothnation.com and join now.
The only proper way to adjust your set.
Yeah.
Underwear for men. Set them once and done for all day comfort.
All right, welcome back, folks. This segment brought to you by Hero Soap Company. Great people, great products, veteran-owned company. Gotta support our vets. You gotta go support Eli, Bottle Breacher from last segment. Go check it out. But you got to support these guys too. It's herosoapcompany.com. You can head over there. You can subscribe for a no-contract monthly delivery of soap straight to your front door. Never run out again. Guys, made with all natural essential oils. None of the harmful crap that's in competitor soap companies. They do a ton to get homeless veterans off the street working with Operation Finally Home. So literally, there's nothing not to like about it. While you're at the site, you can grab one of these freedom boxes. Grab one for yourself, your friends, pretty much anyone that smells. Just go do it. When you're there, use promo code Drew. You can use that promo code on the Freedom Box, any purchase, the subscription, you name it, and you'll get 10% off. So again, it's herosoapcompany.com. Use promo code Drew to save. All right, joining me now, good friend of the show. She's been here multiple times. I've always got to read her titles because they're long and they sound really smart and they're way better than mine. But she is a fellow for the Observer Research Foundation. She's also a senior fellow at the Gold Institute for International Strategy. She's done tons in digital media. She's an awesome person. She's Adele Nazarian, and she joins us now. Adele, good to see you.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. You're awesome. You're the best.
Thank you. I don't know about that, but I'll take it. I'll take it from you, and I'll put a smile on. I'll move with that. So you, last time you were here, you predicted that we'd kind of be where we are now. You predicted that Biden was going to win. Not saying you were elated about it or not, but you predicted and kind of said, hey, look, I'm just not feeling good. I think this could go this way. But it happened.
It did.
Here we are. And it happened. So are you, I guess this is kind of a silly question, but are you surprised that you got it right? Are you surprised this is where we are? Or is this exactly what you were forecasting before?
You know, unfortunately, I'm not surprised. I knew it was going to happen. I saw the writing on the wall. And the one thing that I am actually surprised about is I think I said that we would retain the Senate by the skin of our teeth. I actually blame Lynn Wood and President Trump for the fact that we lost the Senate. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of Kelly Loeffler. I think that she lacks, you know, the true ability to connect with people. Purdue's all right. They were my choice candidates, honestly. I think we could have done much better. But I think it's a big, big loss to the Republicans that they lost. And I think that it was a mistake, a tremendous mistake for President Trump and for Lynn Wood specifically to stand up there and to say, don't vote. Basically dissuade people, the voters of Georgia from going and voting in the polls. It actually caused so many Republicans to not go to the polls and to vote. To not turn in their ballots because they thought it was rigged anyway.
Yeah.
So. We're in a bit of a precarious situation. There is some from the school of thought that believe that actually not having, you know, control of the House or the Senate or the presidency is actually a good thing for the Republican Party to kind of punish them. I don't really see it that way, actually. I think now is a time for rebranding. Unfortunately, it's time for the Republican Party to, if they want to have a viable, you know, future and to maintain themselves and to actually grow and get their act together, they unfortunately need to rebrand themselves away from the Trump brand because the left has done so much to destroy, or they're trying to destroy, his legacy and all his accomplishments.
Yeah. No, and I'm surprised too. You know, I agreed with that. It was a coin flip. I was concerned about the presidency, but it was a coin flip on that, but I felt pretty good that we'd pull through in the Senate. So I was surprised to see that. I think Lynn Wood killed us there. I think Sidney Powell did. You know, Trump did get out and do his rallies and tell people to vote there. There was some back and forth early on, but the way that people went and bought that hook, line, and sinker, what some of those people were saying was just disastrous. We tried to push back against it here. Even though, as you said, Loeffler and Perdue, I don't think either candidate was great there, but they were certainly better than the alternative that was on the other side. But people couldn't see it. They couldn't get through their emotions. But this is where we are. This is where we are. They control all three components, all three pillars, whatever you want to call it. And the GOP, you know, everyone's concerned, and I think there's reason to be concerned about some of the policies. But one of the concerns that has to be addressed right now is, how do we fix this party? And you kind of hit the nail on the head there. In terms of the approach, there's 10 members that essentially announced, hey, we're resigning because these 10 voted to impeach President Trump: Liz Cheney, Herrera Butler, Katko, Kinzinger, Upton, Newhouse, Meyer, Gonzalez, Rice, and Valadao. I don't know if I said that right. Don't care. But some of them went, you know, all in this way. There's the McConnells of the world, the McCarthys of the world, who have come out and said some things in recent days that have frustrated people. And to be clear, someone saying something that is not what you think isn't enough to destroy the whole thing and build it over. But what we've seen over a period of time now is, okay, we got our butts kicked this election season. Yep. Regardless of how or why, all that stuff, put that to the side. We just, in the end, we got our butts kicked. No one's happy with the party. We've got to rebuild it. How do you do that?
Well, I think that the first step is, honestly, you got to be able to take the things that Trump was able to accomplish foreign policy wise, domestically, the trade war with China, all that stuff, you know, keeping true to his promises, and just extract it from the person, unfortunately. And the Republican Party just has to really work on becoming more, frankly, inclusive, becoming better with their narrative, becoming more, you know, giving off the impression, not the impression, actually putting in the legwork and putting in the actual effort to understand better other populations that maybe necessarily haven't overtly flocked to them in the past because of identity politics, which the Democrats, unfortunately, are very good at playing. I'm not a fan of identity politics, to be honest with you. But right now, the Republican Party is in the midst of a war. It's an identity war. And it seems that the incoming administration has overtly said they're going to make the rights of Blacks and, you know, Hispanics and people who are of, look, I'm Persian, right? So technically, during the summer, I'm dark. During the winter, I'm light. I have the best of both worlds, right? But for so many others who are either, you know, people like to put them in certain categories, it's a dangerous, dangerous game that's being played. I noticed this happening on college campuses, frankly, years ago, where you had students who were, you know, Black, African-American, trying to ask for Black-only dorms, Black-only graduation or something. And it's like, why do we have to separate people? We got away from segregation. And I feel like now there's being such a spotlight put on that. And I think the Republican Party has to really work to making sure that they are putting out messaging and truly putting in the legwork to make sure that quote-unquote minority populations understand that there is a seat at the table for them in this party, right? Conservative values are not like, it means wanting to create a home where a family structure is there, where it's, you know, you can raise kids in a safe environment. Who doesn't want to have access to good schooling, school choice? Who doesn't want to have access to, you know, having the ability to boost yourself up and to work hard and to accomplish for yourself your own American dream? I think that's something that has been, you know, universally accepted across the spectrum in America. So this is not a left versus right issue. It's a human issue, right? And so I do unfortunately believe, though, that you got to be able to take the policies that are working, that have worked from Trump. Some policies weren't seen as very good, obviously, and just extract that from the man himself. I think the name has been tarnished because of what the media and the left have done. And if we want to talk about, you know, what's going on, what happened with the riots on Capitol Hill, look, I think the Stop the Steal rally was a trap. I think it was a very bad idea to have the Stop the Steal rally because he should have known that it would have been subverted and used against him. And of course, there were people who were peace loving there. Of course, there were people who, you know, people from the Republican side, conservatives, and people who are moderates who are not violent. But unfortunately, you are always going to get a group of within a group of good, bad actors, people who were acting nefariously, who were violent, and they absolutely should be found, charged, and, you know, prosecuted accordingly.
Yeah.
But it definitely was, you know, something he could have avoided. And there are so many other ways he could have avoided this, honestly. Twitter, having his Twitter taken away from him. Look, Twitter was a tremendous platform for him to be able to reach the people directly while campaigning during the first year. Beyond that, it went way too far. I don't agree with big tech's decision to censor him like this. I think that, you know, it sets a very bad precedent for our First Amendment and freedom of speech going forward. It's very dangerous, but I also think that Trump should have really, really just cooled off with his, you know, constant, you know, going off on Twitter and expressing how angry he was. He should have removed people from within his inner circle that were hindering him and giving him very bad advice, frankly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough because, look, that's what people loved about him. You know, the other side obviously drug him through the mud, didn't like him. The people who's his supporters love that about him, love that he just shoots from the cuff. I think if there's one thing that we can say, excuse me, about this administration where they failed, because I think a lot of this was set up. I think they were doomed to fail. I think this, I agree with you that rally was doomed to fail. The armed protest rallies that we've talked about, they did in the last segment we did yesterday, those are doomed to fail. That is definitely a trap. Do not go. But I think that there has been some issues with the people around him. And then listening to them in fairness too. But that's been an issue. But what Twitter did, I think, was definitely wrong. I mean, he made it that far. You wait till the end. I think the whole thing just ended catastrophically. And unfortunately, love him or not, and I supported him the whole time, even though he does some things that are different, love it or not, the mainstream media did put a stain on this. In the end, they got to win because they control the narrative. They get to say, this is how this went, and that's what people are going to hear and listen to. And it sucks, but it's where we are. Let's do this. I want to ask one more question before we go, if I don't choke and die here. What, how confident do you think the Democrats are that they will get some of these policies through into, let's imagine that the world doesn't explode, and let's hope it doesn't, that we've got 2 years until the next election. And I know there's questions. People are going to say, oh, we can't trust the election. Okay, we'll just table that for a second. Pretend that you can. In the next 2 years, what can they get through of their agenda that many would say, and I'd say is pretty damn radical, without significant pushback?
For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? I happen to think that President-elect Biden is more moderate than his Democrat predecessor, Barack Obama, on many things. And that's a good thing. I really, really do believe that. And I think that he, like, believe it or not, Speaker Pelosi, is going to really try to reel in and distance themselves from the agenda, from the far left wing, which includes AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, that kind of group, you know, that is in a factional war right now in the Democrat Party. So I think that's one positive glimmer of light, of light, silver lining, so to speak. But I do believe that the Democrat Party will be very successful in passing agenda that they have. I really, really do. I think that they have a full slate right now, and they will be successful probably in pushing it through. However, I will say this. I think that being said, the Democrat Party realizes how much in danger their own party is right now because of the radical wing that is gaining traction, the radical, like, far left part of it. And it may actually push them more to the center to make them to become more moderate, maybe taking on stances more like Joe Manchin, you know, from West Virginia, I think.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So it could, in fact, help, you know, make them not necessarily be as receptive towards certain policies that ordinarily, if there wasn't such a radical left element kind of lurking right behind them, to pass through. So that is something that I'm hopeful for, and I do believe that, you know, it's if they do end up passing some agenda items that are seen as being too extreme, the media will be there. This is one thing to look out for. I think, unlike with Barack Obama, you saw how critical the media was of President Trump. I have a feeling that the media is going to be very critical of the incoming administration, more so than with other presidents. And this is going to be very indicative to how far perhaps the media, how their control is solidifying. And it's something to look out for.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll believe that part when I see it. But I do think both parties are fractured. I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm terrified that they get everything through. But there is. There's two factions going on the left. There's now kind of two or more factions going on the right with everything that's gone on. It'll definitely be interesting. We'll definitely have you back. But Adele, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. God bless you.
You too. All right, have a great day. All right, interesting times that we're in. Interesting times that we're in. On the other side, we'll touch on some of the absurd comments, a couple things that happened during the impeachment debate and then eventually vote yesterday that we haven't gotten to yet. Get to some of your comments. That's all coming up. Stick around. Life in America isn't what it used to be. What liberal Democrats have planned for this country and your family would be devastating. At Mammoth Nation, we're committed to supporting conservative candidates. We also stand behind our police, military and veterans, the Second Amendment, and so much more. You only get one vote. Mammoth Nation's here to make sure it counts. We need your support, so join Mammoth Nation today.
It's better than a donation. Savings from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Become a lifetime member today. Go to mammothnation.com.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
All right, welcome back, folks. So we've discussed with the media, perhaps the most guilty of dividing this country, this once great country. I don't know that you can say great country anymore. I'm not saying it's awful. I'm not saying it's over. Looks perilous. The path ahead is not great. But it's not amazing. I mean, when your elections look the way they did, all that kind of stuff. But anyways, media has played a huge role. Of course, big tech right there. Those two. Democrats have their views. Republicans have their views. We're never going to necessarily get along. But when you've got the two big people with tons of power, tons of influence in the middle, further driving that wedge in there, inserting a fissure, if you will, it's like, golly, how can we get past that? It's tough. And that's one of the things that we've got to figure out how to repair. AOC said, was it yesterday? I don't know if it was yesterday or this morning. I think it was yesterday. She talked about reining in the media and say, now, granted, she's going to want to rein in the media and still squash your voice. But part of her statement for the first time in her life was actually right. Just not all of it. But the media does have to get fixed. I just don't know how you do it. There's so much money. There's so much power involved in all of that. But we've got to fix it. But Democrats, time and time again, not all of them. There are some decent Democrats. There just are. I disagree with them on their policies and their ideas. But there are some out there. You know some too. Right now, it seems like there are none. There's a couple. There's some awful Republicans too. We know that. I can see you chatting about it. I can see us talking about it every day. That's just the world we live in. Everything is fractured. We've got all these little tribes running around. But a lot of them lack an understanding of America, of Americans, the everyday workers that aren't politicians that have now all turned celebrity, do nothing for the American people. It's all about themselves. They know nothing about our history. They try to erase our history when they do learn about it. And you know what else doesn't help is their lack of understanding, all those things I just said, but also the fact that there's ignorant people like this peddling garbage that, of course, the mainstream media latches onto and then pumps out there to the masses, to their followers, because they know it'll rile them up. Clips like this don't help. Roll 3.
California, Ms. Waters.
The gentleman from New York is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of impeaching again the worst president in the history of the United States. Since his first day in office, this president has spent 4 years abusing his power, lying, embracing authoritarianism, radicalizing his supporters against democracy. This corruption poisoned the minds of his supporters, inciting them to willingly join with white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and paramilitary extremists in a siege of the United States Capitol building, the very seat of American democracy. The Republican Party is now the Trump Party. And I want you to know that this is a Trump power grab that will not stop. It will not stop with attacking the Capitol and our state legislatures. This president intends to exercise power long after he is out of office. It is reported that the President of the United States watched the invasion from the Oval Office of our Capitol and seemingly enjoyed it. I want you to know we should be concerned that the Republicans will not defend him, and he is capable of starting a civil war. He must be impeached. He must be stopped now.
Gentleman from New York, reserve.
All right. Old Maxine at it again. Look, stop it. That's not helpful. Nothing she ever says is helpful. Again, there's some people on the other side who say things that they'll make some decent points. That's fine. That's not helpful. He didn't incite this. It was planned. Could he have done more to say, don't do this and seeing things coming? Maybe you can have an argument there. But he didn't incite this. He didn't encourage this. And the statement that he's watching it from there, cheering it on with a beer, is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. And I'm so sick. But moreover, all that stuff, you know that stuff's dumb. But moreover, I'm so sick of the authoritarian argument that's made by the other side. The fascist argument that's made by the other side. They just look, I swear these people, Maxine included, who's not very smart, look up words that are bad, associate with evil, then throw them out there, but they don't understand what they are, and they don't understand that they're describing themselves. He's never suppressed the media. He's called them fake news. But he still takes their questions. Yes, there's people been moved out of the White House press corps room, but other people were replaced. Didn't tell the networks they couldn't go there. We haven't gone to state TV. Seems like we're going to state TV and state big tech kind of more so now. But we haven't gone there. We haven't locked people up for having a different view. If we had, we would have had to have so many more jails and prisons added. The amount of people that have gone violently, aggressively, against this president, said nasty, awful things like they have to no other president before. If he was an authoritarian, we were locking people up. If he was a fascist and shutting people down for different opinions, there'd be no one left. Half the frickin' country's been saying stuff that is ridiculous. So that's just stupid. What you're seeing now, if you can step back, what you're seeing now is the definition of those terms on the other side. What you saw last year, you have different opinions. We're going to burn your business down, assault police officers, and kill you. That's the definition of that. January 6th was awful. It was stupid. But it was revolt about not being heard and being accused of other stuff over that. And then it was other people who were there too instigating stuff. Again, not defending it, but I just it blows my mind that they continue to use that terminology, that specific term, other terms like it, to describe him and his supporters. There are probably some who fit the terms that are being used. But again, not the masses. Not the masses. But here's another absurd claim among a sea of absurd claims that were made yesterday. This was in the same hearing, Rule 4.
From Missouri, Ms. Bush.
The gentlewoman from Missouri is recognized for 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, St. Louis and I rise in support of the article of impeachment against Donald J. Trump. If we fail to remove a white supremacist president who incited a white supremacist insurrection, it's communities like Missouri's 1st District that suffer the most. The 117th Congress must understand that we have a mandate to legislate in defense of black lives. The first step in that process is to root out white supremacy, starting with impeaching the white supremacist in chief. Thank you, and I yield back.
Again, not helpful. It's not helpful. Anytime there's been events that have included characters of that nature, they've been put down, said that was wrong. And both sides should say that. And anytime that there's been stuff from the other side, they have not been put down by the other side. They've been put down by this side, though. There's been such a double standard when it comes to how Antifa and Black Lives Matter act versus the other. But pinning it all on him just using those terms is just not fair. And again, look, I'm all for unity too. I don't know how it works right now. I don't know how it works right now. But saying, hey, we need you to say this was bad, and then he says it, and then saying, we need you to say, I just said it. We need you to come down on this. If people wanted there to be unity, they would take good things that are happening. There's not many of them, I get that. They'd take the good things, though, and we'd all celebrate it. Hey, did you see that he condemned this and said, no violence, stop doing these things, let's all come together, move on. Biden's going to be the president, let's just go and move on. You'd be celebrating that. And we should be. Not the fact that he lost, but the fact that, hey, look, let's all get past this. Let's maybe not fight for the next 4 years. Wouldn't that be nice? It would be refreshing to not do that. I'm all for it. I don't know how it happens. I don't think most of you are, but I'm all for it. There's bad outcomes that could be coming down the pike if people don't dial things back. But I think this kind of stuff, that doesn't help. Look, don't like the guy. That's your call. I don't care. You do you. You vote how you want to vote. But don't just make up stuff when there's documentation to prove otherwise, because you want to make a point. You want political theater. You want to speak to your constituents. You want to speak to this, that, and the other. It's not helpful. Same thing goes for the people on the right. It's not helpful. We got to do better. All right, we'll take some... Yeah, and he has. And you look at the numbers, he has done more. You're right. He's done right. He's done a lot for the black community, the minority communities across the country. And got more votes than Republicans typically do there. Still not enough. GOP needs to do better in those areas if they want to expand and grow and progress as a party. But no one ever talks about those stats because, again, it would go against the narrative that's being spread and shared out there. All right, so let's talk about some of these comments. Jenny Animal, I don't know if you're still here, but you said earlier, do we divide it? Do we divide the country, that is? We talked with Eli earlier in the show, and we really do. We kind of have these three options, and if as Eli said, and I kind of say all the time, if there's another one, that would be great. We'd love to hear it. It's got to make sense, but throw it out there. But the options are secession, a totalitarian state with the Dems having all the control as they do now, or some form of conflict or war. None of them good. Let's try everything we can to avoid it. Again, it's just going to be hard to do so. But the secession part, you know, it's tough. Like I was saying with him, is there's lots of hurdles that have to get over in terms, you know, legally speaking, politically speaking, for that to happen without any bloodshed or conflict, which again, you don't want. So how do you do it in a way that doesn't involve that? I don't know. I think that it's the best of those options. The best of those options by a long shot. We can still have sports. We can still have the NFL, still have the NHL. We can still have, you know, whatever your favorite sports league. We can still have college football, more importantly. Your school might be in a different zone or country or whatever, but whatever. We'll have passports. We'll do it. We're still North America together. If someone invades, we can still come together and repel each other. Whatever. That's a better option than just fighting each other. So if we could do that, that would be amazing. But I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know. There's so many things that would have to happen for that kind of a breakup or secession to happen. We'll see. Gail, you mentioned earlier in the show, there's been some people, I've seen it too. It's hard to do the show and keep up with the comments all at the same time. Appreciate the trolls that are here again today, as usual. You know you guys don't have to watch this. You can go watch whatever you want. But we're glad you're here. But Gail, you said impeach him, meaning Biden, day one. And someone else chimed in and also said, yeah, Marjorie Greene is going to put it forth. But guys, that's not going to go anywhere. You can do it, but it's not going to go anywhere. The Democrat-controlled House and the Democrat-controlled Senate, I mean, it's a tie, but with Kamala, it's the Democrat-controlled Senate. It's not going to go anywhere. So it's political theater. I'm sick of political theater from both sides. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not beneficial to the whole country, not just your political career in D.C. Then don't do it. I personally think it'd be a waste of time. I'm not saying I don't see why you're saying the comment. I get why you're saying the comment. I get that people are frustrated. I get that there's unanswered questions with investigations with him and Hunter and so much more. But you know it's not going to go through unless something crazy happens, it's not going to go through. So it's like, let's focus on other things. Let's focus on what we do with the GOP, how we get the GOP fixed and on the right course if we can. Let's focus on getting better candidates in there on that side and trying to lead the way there. But unfortunately, I just don't think the other's going to happen. I don't know if I have this name right, but someone had mentioned how, you know, Trump had said something too late about condemning the 6th or whatever. And then someone compared how Joe Biden took forever, damn near to the election, to condemn all of the violence that happened last year, which was far more violent, far more deaths, way more destruction. Insurance company said it was the most disastrous year, you know, that they'd seen on the books. But again, right now, the rules are different. What's acceptable on that side of the aisle with the media on their side and big tech on their side is different. So, yeah, he took way too long to condemn that. And he never really came down that hard on it either. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, again, we don't get to control the narrative right now, which is the tricky thing that we're dealing with. And you know, purging the GOP, I've seen this comment a couple times, purging the GOP of rhinos, I think it's going to be tough. I think that's the goal. I think that's the goal, is you want to have the, you want people that come in and actually are who they say they are. Both sides should want that. That should be a goal, right? That's a pretty simple, common, just human goal. We want people to be who they say they are. And we do. We need them to work across the aisle. The rhinos are there. Some of them work across the aisle more than others. But a lot of them are just way more concerned about their job and their career than they are any particular policy, plan, idea, what have you. So I think we're going to struggle to do that. That's going to be a long haul. But I think it's got to start somewhere. And you have better candidates that start to come up. You primary people in 2022, start to challenge them, start to get things on course. And I think that you do it not with people who are radically right. There's some that are coming up and getting lucky and getting in. Some that are having good races that are radically right. That's not going to help. That's not going to help the party because it's going to continue to drive that wedge. And it's not going to help the country because, again, it's going to continue to take elements of the party this way when the Democrat Party is already going further to the left. The further we get from each other, the more likely we end up in the scenario where it's options 1, 2, and 3. Again, all those bad options that we don't want. So we can't go after candidates that fit in that category. I'm not saying go after the ones that are like rhinos and say that's acceptable. I'm not saying that at all. But if you push level-headed people through who understand the Constitution, understand who we are as a country, are going to do what they say, not get caught up in the game, but also not be radically right and crazy and stupid because that doesn't help anyone, then I think you start to make an impact, put pressure on the ones who have been there. Some of those people who have been there for, I don't even know how some of them are living, frankly. There's so many people on Capitol Hill, on both sides of the aisle, that have been there so long. It's kind of remarkable. I don't even want to live that long. Some of them are that old. But we'll see. I think term limits is going to be tough. Term limits is going to be tough because, again, you got to get all of those people who love their paycheck, their job, their power, their control to vote against themselves having that paycheck, that power, that control. They should see you're going to have the ability to do book deals and get great jobs and gigs afterwards, but they don't. They're focused on it. So the term limit thing, I think, is going to be tough. If I would vote for damn near anybody. If they could get in there and promise, I don't even care what side of the aisle they're on, frankly. You know I'm a conservative, a strong conservative. But if someone said, hey, I can guarantee you for these next 2 years that I'm going to get term limits passed, obviously no one person could do that. But if they could do it, I'd be like, I'm on that person's train. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Knock this shit out and start fixing things. Because one of the only ways you will fix things is by getting that in place. Getting that in place. Getting bills that focus on one issue instead of 10,000. Hey, it's a lot harder for people to know where people stand when there's a gazillion things in any given bill, regardless of what side puts it through. If the bill is, hey, here's my bill, it's do you support term limits or not? Everyone votes on it. You know where everyone is. would be great. Never going to happen, though, because, again, you've got all these people who are comfortable, and they're all working together in that sense. Across the, one of the only times these people work across the aisle is when they're out to protect each other and their jobs, keep this game going. So it's a tough thing. You're fighting against that. You're fighting against big tech. You're fighting against the mainstream media. And it's really tough. I wish I had a better answer or solution, but it's really tough to go against all that and get change. So we've got to just chip away at it and figure out what we can do. What's the path of least resistance? Let's get that done first. Then let's work on the next thing and just keep going and hope and pray that we're still there to see the end and that the end is better than we think it's going to be as of right now. All right, folks, appreciate you joining. Sorry that the Facebook crew from all the different channels weren't here to chat with you. Seems like you've had a pretty healthy chat there on your own, though. So, again, appreciate you joining us. Thanks for tuning in. One more show this week. We'll get into whatever's coming tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be plenty. Hang in there. Crazy world, but we'll get through it. Hope you have a great day. See you tomorrow.